We are joined by the chair of athletics and the executive director for Coastal Carolina Football, a two-time Big South Football Coach of the Year, an Eddie Robinson FCS National Coach of the Year, a South Carolina Football Hall of Fame Humanitarian of the Year, a Lombardi Award winner and a Lombardi Hall of Fame inductee, four conference championships as head coach. Coastal Carolina is undefeated. They're 5-0. They're number 20 in the AP poll. And they are at Georgia State Saturday, noon Eastern. Joe Mowgli is my guest. Joe, it is so good to have you back on the show. How are you?
Hey, Jim. Great. Thank you. You know, I've always been a great fan of yours. And many years ago when you had me on the show, I think when pretty much every athletic director in this country thought I was far too great a risk to take, you were a tremendous supporter of mine. So I really became a tremendous fan then.
Joe, I appreciate you saying that, and I really was amazed by you and your story, and I was so eager to talk to you about that. In fact, Joe, I was going to start right there. I was going to say you and I did first speak way back in 2013, and a lot has happened since then. So people can truly understand, Joe, what you and the program have accomplished. Let's go back to when you stepped down first as the CEO of TD Ameritrade to coach football. What was that time in your life like then?
Well, Jim, you know, like when I stepped down in 2008, that was the financial crisis, and we were fortunate enough to have five record years in a row when we gave our shareholders a 500% return. By the way, there's no publicly traded company in the financial world that can say that, so I'm pretty proud of that. And when I stepped down, the board asked me if I'd be chairman, and I said I'd be honored to, and I just recently stepped down from that post. But because we had done so well through a very difficult crisis, I had probably never been in more demand in my life. And then I got a call from a group of alumni at Yale telling me at the end of the 2008 season there was a chance the football job would be open, would I be interested? And I remember saying, guys, I've not coached for 20 years. And I said, yeah, but we kind of know the skill sets a coach is supposed to have, a head coach specifically, and we think you have those. Maybe even, you know, we think you even have competitive advantages. There's only one problem. So what's that? Well, in 140 years of college football, this will never happen. So think about it. And ultimately, I really did spend some serious time thinking about this, and I decided I wanted to go back, and I met with Tom Osborne in Nebraska, and he introduced me to Bo. And then for the next 2 years, I became his executive advisor and worked directly with him and the staff. So that's how I got back. And I think the interesting part about this is probably the hardest job I have ever gotten in my career across over two decades in football and over two decades in the business world. And I think because it had never happened before, there wasn't a precedent. So there weren't that many athletic directors or college presidents, frankly, willing to step up. Up until Dr. DeCenzo did it at Coastal.
Joe Mowgli joining us. I mean, you needed somebody to believe in you. You already had that great self-belief, but you needed that one person because generally it just takes that one big yes. Coastal Carolina went 29-28, including 1-9 versus the two best teams in the Big South before you arrived in 2011. What was the potential that you saw in that program, and then what was your vision for the program?
I thought there were two things. I think, you know, every college coach says this, but there are two things we do that nobody in the nation had done. And one was we literally don't have any rules, literally no rules. But we have a standard. That's what we call BAM, be a man. But that's not some tough macho guy. A real man, a real woman, a real leader stands on their own two feet, takes responsibility for themselves, treats others with dignity and respect, and always lives with the consequences of your actions. That's not just in football. That's your behavior on and off the field in the classroom, and you're always going to be somebody's son or somebody's brother, so we expect you to live up to the responsibility to your family. So I thought, number one, first, that type of attitude, our guys taking responsibility for themselves, and the behavior was going to be paramount going forward. And then secondly, we were the only program in the nation that gave up 30 minutes of practice every week. I repeat that, gave up 30 minutes of practice every week to talk about things that had nothing to do with football, but things that were going on around the world. And that was LEF, life after football for us. And you know, because we have an election coming up, one of the things I'm proud of, back in 2016, we emphasized, you know, the role that we have in our country and a democracy. We talked about that, and we could only pray that our political and military leaders have the guts to make the decisions that they really need that are in the best interest of our country. And well, what role do we have to play that? Well, we can vote. And in 2016, again, at the time, 145 years of college football, the only program in history whose entire team voted on election day for the President of the United States was Coastal Carolina 2016. So there was a whole emphasis with that, and then the football really followed that.
Joe, I want to be very clear about what you just said. It was in 2016, you took the entire team to vote in the presidential election. And not only that, you held mock debates with the players impersonating the candidates. You would routinely spend time with the players talking about non-football issues, as you point out, 30 minutes, like racism, terrorism, politics. Other programs have since started to do that, but at that time, nobody else was doing that. Why was that so important to you?
Well, I think, again, you know, we talk about, we know we need to win. I mean, everybody's aware we've got to win. If we don't win, I'm going to get fired. That's true of other coaches. We know that. And every coach cares about his kid and wants things to go well for them. But how much do you actually do in your own program, not bringing in speakers from the outside, not that counseling session with that the school has, but what do you do within your own program to emphasize that there are other things in the world that matter, and a lot of times they matter much more than football does. So if the greatest threat in the globe today is terrorism, how can I not let my guys really truly understand and learn what that is? Is the threat of terrorism in the United States bigger than our playing a football game? By a great margin. How do we protect ourselves? Through the military. You've got guys the same age as my guys putting their lives on the line. Why? So we can live in freedom and play college football. And what happens when one of those guys die? Well, number one, we want to appreciate what the sacrifice is. And number two, with those freedoms come responsibility. You go right back to the idea, bam. So I think that's the separator. And I think then on top of that, really, the football just follows.
Joe Moglia is joining us. You know, Joe, when you look at it, you made the transition from coaching to the business world back in the day, and then you made the transition from the business world back to coaching. What did you learn about yourself during your return to head coaching?
Well, you know, I knew I had the skill sets and I knew I had the desire for it. But, you know, a coach puts in 80 hours a week. You don't get a day off for about 5 months during the season. Was I ready to handle the grind? And I was. But I think having had experience over two totally different careers under my belt, I think I didn't need to do a job because it was the money. I didn't need to do a job because of the ego. I wanted to go back to coaching because, and I think over the span of my career, what I think has touched me the most, Jim, is the satisfaction I get from having a positive impact on other people. That was true for me the first time around as a coach. That definitely was true as well in the business world. Most people may not realize that, and that's certainly what I felt this time around. So I think, like on my tombstone, it should say something like, "This guy had a real impact on others."
You know, I think maybe, Joe, you might have just answered my next question, but I was going to say you're not coaching right now, and we'll get into the transition. But you told USA Today that you do not go to practice because, quote, "I still get a little emotional when I'm around the guys, and I don't need that," end quote. How would you describe those emotions? And, Joe, why are they so strong?
Well, because I love those guys. I mean, you figure you have five classes, four of the classes were classes I recruited, three of the classes were guys that I coached. And, you know, we knew where we were headed. And the guys on the staff, too. Jamie Chadwell, you know, our head coach, somebody I recruited. His defensive coordinator, Chad Staggs, I've been trying to recruit him for a while. So, I mean, I love those guys. And so for me to all of a sudden, not all of a sudden, but for me to step down, and especially in 2019, that was really difficult for me. 2020, you got the virus. So, frankly, I shouldn't be hanging around different places, et cetera. But they're my guys, and I recognize that while I'm tied to them, I'm not directly with them. And that kind of gets me a little emotional. So, for example, during a game, in pregame, that's not easy for me to watch our guys in warm-up. But once the game starts, then I totally focus on the game, and I'm okay. But I still feel very, very emotionally tied to the coaching staff as well as our players.
All right, so in terms of the coaching staff, Joe, in 2019, as you mentioned, you officially hand the day-to-day coaching duties to Jamie Chadwell. You had coached against him back in the day when he was at Charleston Southern, and he had served as interim coach previously, and you know him going back even further than that. What did you see in him that let you know that he was the right guy for the job?
Well, number one, I thought he did an incredible job turning Charleston Southern around. Number two, he beat me, and not a lot of people actually did that. Number three, when I really looked at what he did with the program, I loved what he did from an offensive and defensive perspective, and I liked how seriously he took special teams. But what I really respected was, again, his philosophy and his concept of discipline. And I know deep in his heart, he feels incredibly strongly that, you know, we're put on this earth to have a positive impact on other people. And the combination of all of those things for me meant, this is the type of guy I want to work with me, and you know, one day would succeed me. And frankly, in a different world, in a different environment, in a different time, I'd be honored to work for him.
And Joe, for perspective, again, this is a program that started playing football in 03, made the move up to FBS in 2017. I mean, I know you had lofty goals for the program, but did you think the program would be where it is right now, undefeated and ranked in the top 20 in the AP poll?
Now, if I said I thought we would be ranked in the top 20, you know, that'd be a little bit of a fib. But am I surprised that we're undefeated? No, I'm not surprised we're undefeated. I thought we were capable of that. And I think when we began, one of the things we had in our program was we didn't necessarily have a specific goal. Like our mission statement was different from others. Like our mission statement was we want to put a team on the field that Coast Carolina is going to be proud of. And that means we recognize you may lose a game here or there, but there never, ever be a snap that any one of our 11 guys on the field takes it easy or is not given 100%. So the idea was to maximize your potential. And maximizing your potential may mean you go undefeated. It may mean you go 500, but you're doing absolutely the best you can with what you've got. You make it better, and then you'll never be satisfied. In fact, George Washington Carver said that.
So listen, I get the sense that you're not going to be satisfied with just a nice start. You're happy with it. It's great to be a good story. But if, in fact, the goal is to maximize your potential and you're thinking about ceiling, like when you consider where the program is right now, how much better can it get? What does the next level look like?
Well, I think, you know, we're only like hitting our stride right now, frankly. And what happened, like when you were at the FCS level, we had many guys that were FBS talent that were very interested in Coastal, but they felt they had to go to the FBS. So the talent level that we've been recruiting for the last 3+ years now is certainly FBS type talent. And I think we have gotten a little bit of a national reputation from different things we've done over the years. And you have the compounding impact of the learning and the growing and the belief and the philosophy that takes place. So it's not like the guys that are there are kind of the guys that built it. The guys that are following them, that's all part of their legacy. So, again, I think we continue to be competitive and I think significantly so over time. And, again, I have tremendous confidence with Jamie and his staff.
Joe, finally, like I'm talking to you, and I mentioned that you and I first came together back in 2013. Like, you haven't lost anything at all. Your energy, your drive, your passion, your ambition. I mean, I can still feel the heat. I mean, at the same time, you are the outgoing chairman of the board at TD Ameritrade. You've been guiding them through a deal with Charles Schwab. Like, what's a normal day like for you right now, and how do you balance everything and find time for everything?
Well, when we closed the Schwab deal, Jim, which was only like a week or two ago, I was a little sad. I mean, I worked on that deal for 2 years, and I think it's a great deal, and our investors and clients should be very, very pleased with that. But, you know, I'm a little sad, in effect, because our name, TD Ameritrade, now winds up going away. But as I step down, you know, with the synergy, Schwab should be a $75 billion company. They already have $6 trillion in assets. When I started 19 years ago, we were a $700 million company with $24 billion assets. So I'm pretty proud of that. Over the span of my career there as a CEO or chairman. Now I am also executive advisor to the president of Coastal Carolina, and I am the chairman of an asset management company and a wealth management company called Fundamental Global and Capital Wealth Advisors. That and paying attention to what we've got going on with regard to football, and I'm working on a third book now on leadership. You know, there are enough things to keep you busy. But the reality is, when you go through this period of the virus and you're not traveling as much, you know, frankly, you have a real opportunity to be a little bit more self-reflective. And I think that as the virus comes to an end and we kind of think of ourselves as individuals, if we don't come out of this tough situation not knowing a little bit more about ourselves, you know, that was an opportunity lost.
I think that is so true. And then finally, Joe, what about the kids that are graduating college right now? The world is so different and it's so challenging. What's the best piece of advice you could give to a young person who's going to graduate college and try and find their way in the world?
Number one, they got to know that right now the environment is different than what it normally is, but that's going to change. It's going to get better. Number two, when you're making a decision in terms of what you're going to do for a career, that's where you're going to be spending most of your time. You better make sure you have the skill sets. If you don't have the skill sets, no matter whether or not your father's there or someone else wants you to do it, don't do it. Don't go down that path. But if you do have the skill sets, I think, Jim, you got to ask yourself one more question. That's, is this something that I can do that I'd really be passionate about? If the answer to both of those things are yes, you increase the probability you made the right decision. And then at the end of the day, you're going to be happy. And frankly, that's all we really care about for our loved ones.
Coastal Carolina, 5-0, number 20 in the AP poll. They've got another one coming up against Georgia State on Saturday. He is the chair of athletics and the executive director for Coastal Carolina football, and obviously so much more. Joe, so great to get caught up with you. Glad we could have you back on the show. Thank you so much for making time for it, Joe. It's great to hear your voice.
I've enjoyed it a lot, Jim. Thanks for having me on.
You too, Joe. Thank you very much. Appreciate you. Joe Moglia joining us. An amazing story.